Hey, let's go. Hey, good morning. Good morning, niggas. Wow, we got a couple of niggas straight out of the gate. Let's go. Hey, good morning, everybody. Andy, creepy guy, black balaclava, Justin, holla, holla. I love that guy. Big Creed fan, D. Career in? I don't know what that is. Some anime deal. Cheese. Chess head. I don't know what that is. Democracy enjoyer. Oh, that guy's a Kiwi head, I think. Dennis. This is something German, it looks like. I don't know. Good morning, everybody. Oh, Right Wing Watch, Out of Context, Angry Inch. What's up? Mio Enjoyer? Is that the real Mio? Oh, brother. Cringe. Mio the Simp. Chris Ye, hey. All right. What's going on? This is my first Twitter space in a minute. I haven't done one of these. I can't remember the last time I did a Twitter space. Probably over a month ago, at least. Maybe longer. I didn't even do a Twitter space on my last account. Let me just take off my suit here. Let me just take off my suit. And we'll dive right into the content. What do we got going on, huh? Good morning. Hope everybody's morning is going well. Harrison Smith dragged me out of bed at 9:30 a.m. But that's okay. I love that guy. Good guy. Who does a show at 9:30 a.m., huh? Who does a show this early? This is the middle of the night for me. 9:30 a.m.? Hey, would you like to come on the American Journal at 9:30 in the morning? Sure. Yeah, sure. Now, I love American Journal. I love Harrison Smith, but waking up at 8 a.m., I don't like that at all, okay? I had to wake up at 8 a.m., but it's good, because see, now I'm up, got my day started, I'm going to go get some breakfast, going to go get an expensive and delicious breakfast. You know, the other day I had this breakfast, it was so healthy. I never get any credit for the good nutrition decisions I make. Because I only post my ugly meals, you know? So everybody thinks I eat McDonald's for every meal. But that's only because I only post when it doesn't look good. So people are like, oh, your diet's trash, bro. It's like, what do you think I'm going to post every boring thing I eat? Do you think I'm going to post every time I eat a Chipotle burrito bowl or a fucking whatever? You know, because the other day I actually had a great expensive breakfast. I had a skirt steak with eggs and potatoes. And I had this juice that was really good, carrot orange juice with lemon. And I had coffee. And that's a really good breakfast. That's like a very, nobody would have anything negative to say about that. It had all the groups there. You know, but I don't post those because, you know, honestly, if you post the good here, I'm going to explain the joke because it's gone on long enough. People get it, I think. Some people don't. But, you know, there's these people out there that will unironically post good food that they're eating. And I think that's so fucking gay because it's like, what is the message? Like you go out and order an expensive meal and take a picture of it. Is that not like the most low class thing to do? Because if you really are eating expensive meals a lot, it's like, it's no big deal. I eat expensive meals all the time. It's no fucking big deal. I don't go and post it and say, hey, everyone, imagine what this tastes like. Tastes really good, doesn't it? Yeah, well, I'm eating it now. So what do you think about that? Like, who does that? Yeah, I eat good all the time. I could eat good. You know, when I was in Florida for AFPAC, I was eating lobster like every night. And I'm not going on and on about it like, hey, look at me. Because it's ain't no thing, okay? How else you think a nigga like me supposed to eat, huh? Huh? So, You know, so I think that people that unironically post good looking food, I think that's cringe. So my joke is to subvert that by posting food that does not look good and going out and seeking out the food that looks the worst. Like one time I posted a picture of I went to Mr. Submarine, which is this horrible chain in Chicago. But I sometimes go there because it's open late. And so I got, what the fuck did I get? I got like a Euro sandwich. Maybe it was a turkey sandwich. I don't remember. And cheese fries. And I literally dropped my phone on top of the cheese fries. Like dropped the face of my phone, like the touchscreen, on top of this pile of melted cheese. And I took my phone off and took a picture of it. And so this is just like as bad as it gets. This is like 2 a.m. cheese fries in a styrofoam container. They're frozen fries with the phone dropped in it. And everybody's like, ew, that's gross. Nick, you need to get help, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you fucking idiot. That's the joke, stupid idiot. So I'm just getting tired of people, oh, you got to work on your diet. You know, my diet's not that bad, actually, okay? How do you think I'm so skinny? Do you think that, do you think I could live a sedentary lifestyle and remain under 145 pounds if I was eating crap all the time? No, obviously not. But if I'm going out there, I'm not going to go out there and post a fucking grilled chicken. Who would do that? Imagine eating grilled chicken and green beans. Like, why would I even post that? Who would? What's the point? What's the joke? Where's the punchline? Look at how unironically good I'm eating. Who cares? No one cares unironically what I'm eating. Nobody cares unironically if I'm eating a good meal. Okay. Well, clearly people do. Actually, that's what's sick. That's why I post the bad stuff. Yeah, actually, asked and answered. That's actually why I post the bad food, because these fucking sick people online like you that unironically do care, that unironically are imagining what I'm eating. And so I post this garbage to be like, hey, middle finger hot dog style. That's the joke. And it annoys the shit out of me. People still don't get that. There's a whole thread now on Kiwi Farms. I used to read it more. I don't go on there anymore because I discovered Gamer Uprising, which is the Daily Stormer forum. So I check that every day now. So I used to read Kiwi Farms a few times a week. I used to read my thread. And now my thread is locked and there's like this forum and it's, now it's about everybody else, and I don't really care about what they're saying about everybody else. I care about what people are saying about me, you know? So I don't really check it too much anymore. But I went back on there just for old time's sake this week, and there's literally an entire thread dedicated to my diet. Like, the whole thread is talking about all the pictures of food I eat, and they're just complaining about, like, wow, this food looks disgusting. This meal that Nick is eating right now is absolutely gross. I would rather eat anything other than what Nick is eating right now. It's like, what? It's like, what is going on, man? I think you've kind of lost the, plot if you're unironically invested in like a guy that you hate's diet. Not even like a guy that you like. It's not even like, you don't even care about a person that you like's diet. You care about a person that you don't like and their diet. All right. Good morning. Knuckles cracked. Time to log Nick Fuentes' diet. Who I hate. Good morning. Knuckles cracked. Computer on. Time to record everything Nick Fuentes ate today, who I hate because I hate him. and his ew, and this one looks fucking gross. Get a load of this. Get a load of what Nick Fuentes is eating right now. Isn't this gross? Like, bruh. I don't know. Maybe you gotta go try doing something else. Seems not very, I'm fine with it, though. I mean, like, honestly, I'm glad somebody is doing it because nobody from America First is doing it. You know what I mean? Like, there was a time on our intern team where we tried to get somebody to just, like, document everything that we did. And it's such an arduous task because, you know, there's so many, like, banned accounts. It's more difficult to record everything that we do compared to other people because everything that we do gets burned up because of censorship, you know? So it's like, I can't even record everything that I do. You know, all the burner Twitter accounts or Instagram accounts or stories or spaces, live streams, guest appearances, like, it's a big pain in the ass. And so we've got people that are doing this. We've got guys like Racist Incel and a few others on the team or in the group chats that do this stuff. But it's really an arduous task. So I'm actually, even though they could give their little commentary and be like, you know, here's the record of America First, but we hate them. It's like, hey, at least the record exists. Like, I remember somebody was recording all these spaces and publishing them on YouTube. And they were like, hey, little Nikki. They were like in my replies on Twitter. They were like, hey, little Nikki. Oops, guess I just recorded all your spaces and cataloged them and posted them on YouTube. And it was like, wow, thank you so much. Like, I couldn't get a volunteer who likes me to do this, you know? Hey, little Nikki. Oops. Guess I accidentally took the time out of my day for free to record all your Twitter spaces and title them and tag them and post them on YouTube for mainstream consumption. Oops. Hope you don't mind. It's like, yeah, no, I don't mind. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, you know? People that like me don't even do this. You know, people that like me don't even do this consistently enough. So, yeah, big shout out. I appreciate it. So yeah, that was, and they really thought that was like making me mad. No, we the reason we're doing this is because we like what we do. They're like, we're recording all of this because we don't like what you do. It's like, okay, but we're doing it because we want it to exist. So it's good that it's, you know, that'll be like, they'll be like the monks preserving the ancient texts of Aristotle and Plato and all of that, you know, in years from now, after the barbarians at Silicon Valley have destroyed any evidence of America First existing, future generations will stumble upon the Library of Alexandria that is Kiwi Farms, and they'll see the annals of history, the annals of the history of the internet. So, anyway. But what else is new? Let me go through my timeline and see what else we got cooking, huh? I just finished up my appearance on InfoWars. Good stuff. Love Harrison. It is a little early in the day for me. That's okay. Yeah, I don't think there's too much actually there's even too much going on. Let's see. Let me check my timeline and what do we got? I'm back in the group chat with the Destiny gang. Those guys are keck. They're actually not keck. You know what I realized about the Destiny gang is that the Destiny heads are they're not on the left. They're on like the Reddit 4chan spectrum. You know, like, They're not even really on the left, because you think like, oh, we've got these intense right wing people, and then you've got these intense left wing people. Wrong. It's really like we are further in degree from them, but in the same direction, because they're like extremely online. They're into like ironic humor and meme culture and that kind of thing. But they're like, but they're not far enough along. Because if they were further along, they would be getting into conspiracy theories, which are true. They'd be getting into scientific racism, which is true. They'd be getting into discussions about Jewish power, which is true. And they'd also be funnier. You know, their memes would be better. And so I don't, what I'm learning about the Destiny left is that these guys are not, they're not intense lefties on the opposite side against intense right-wing people. They're inferior. They're objectively inferior, less intense, almost like aborted right-wing people. That's what they really are. These are aborted autists, okay? They're autistic, but these are the people with Asperger's that chose to be gay, okay? There were people with Asperger's who are heterosexual and chose to watch anime and chose Hitler and 4chan. And then you have these sort of inferior, aborted people with Asperger's who chose Discord and transsexualism and Tito or like Lenin or something. That's unironically what it is, because I'm in their group chat and I'm not like overwhelmed by their left-wing convictions or something. I'm not like, whoa, like, you know, that's their version of all type, or whoa, that's their version of whoever. It's like, no, these guys are really just, they're just not with it. They're just like not on our level in terms of, they just haven't read the books that we've read. They haven't gone through the sort of necessary evolutionary developments to get to the logical end state of having access to information on the internet in the 21st century and being a high IQ individual. Like that's literally what it is. I will say this. They are all sex obsessed. I didn't realize, I had a hunch, and I've said this for a long time, that the reason that Destiny is left-wing is because of lust. His lust and his religion, or rather religion, precludes him from embracing lust. So he's not religious. And I had the sneaking suspicion that his repudiation of the right wing comes from his repudiation of religion. It's a logical conclusion of his repudiation of religion. And he repudiates religion not because he's even against religion, but because religion is an inconvenience. That's why, because he wants, as on a, you know, on a compulsive level, certain things that you know, religion or religious morality would preclude him from doing. So, you know, because if you recall, I went on a stream with him recently, and I said, you know, don't you think about dying? Don't you think about life after death? And he's like, no, I don't think that's like productive. So it's like, he just doesn't think about it. Or rather, he says he doesn't think about it, but it seems like, you know, explicitly and implicitly, he's sort of sidestepping the question because he's got like this materialistic, compulsive outlook. And of course, you cannot be right wing if you're not religious, in my humble opinion. I don't necessarily think, and it's not to say that you can't justify being right wing on secular grounds, but what does that look like? Neoliberalism? What does that look like exactly? You know, libertarianism? You can't really be right wing without a religious component, without a moral component there. So that was my suspicion for a long time. And I said as much to him, and I've said that on my show. And I get invited to the group chat, and I'm in the group chat, and you know, they're nice enough. Like, we're chatting. It's amicable. It's friendly. I'm a friendly guy. I'm amicable. Even if I don't necessarily agree with somebody, obviously, or even like somebody, I can be friendly because I'm just, you know, as eccentric as I am, I know how to pretend to be a normal person, you know? And so I'm in the group chat, and they're friendly enough and everything, and we chat. But my observation is that all of these people, it's all about sex. It's all about sex in there. You know, they're all obsessed with sex. They all talk about sex. It's all very crass and vulgar. And it's all just about, oh, come and fuck this. And we're and not like fuck this, like, you know, hey, fuck you. Like having sex with this and having sex with that. And they're all on OnlyFans and they're all have some, you know, deviant identity. They're all trans or gay or whatever. And what you see, you know, it's like Ted Kaczynski talked about this, is leftism as a pathology, as an antisocial pathology, which, you know, a lot of people regurgitate that. But, you know, what it means is that leftism is not really a coherent, self-contained worldview. Like, it doesn't actually have a very good foundation once you start asking questions. It's really just this. It's just this sort of rationalization for certain behaviors. And so you have these, what they really are is sort of like just children. You have these sort of like stunted people that things sort of went awry in their adolescence. And leftism is kind of this taped on, it's sort of this tacked on facade on top of really just this collection of compulsive, sometimes antisocial behaviors. These are people that are not really thinking about deeper questions. It's really just more about what's convenient, what's sort of like a convenient thing for like what I want to do. And I noticed that because I'm in there and I'm friendly and everything, and we start talking about things like the Holocaust or Israel or whatever, and they're just kind of like not curious. They're not sort of curious. They're not really like sort of philosophically inclined. Like, we're talking about, gee, you know, the Holocaust. Why is it that everybody cares so much about it? Why is it that everybody cares so much that everybody believes in it? And, you know, these are just good questions. You know, like, it is an anomaly the way that the Holocaust is treated. It's, you know, abnormal. And so there's a question about why is that? And they're like, well, because people don't want it to happen again. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's what like the government says, but like, don't you want to evaluate if that is truly the reason? Like, isn't there any level of curiosity of like, like, yeah, that's an answer that certainly could satisfy the question, but is it a good answer? Is it the best answer? Can we investigate, you know, how would we determine if that's a good answer or the best answer? What are questions we could ask that would elucidate, you know, which is the correct answer here, the more correct answer? And they're just like not even interested in that. They're just like, oh, well, maybe it's because whatever. Oh, well, you believe in God. Do you question God, like question the Holocaust? It's like, you know, it just turns into this, I don't even know what, but there doesn't seem to be, even like when I was debating Destiny, it was the same thing. When we were talking about like government corruption, I'm like, yeah, don't you know about like the Iron Triangle? And Iron Triangle is this political science term that talks about, there used to be a way to describe how government works where it was like, oh, you know, the House committee comes up with a bill and then they present it to the Reconciliation Committee and then the Senate passes it, you know, and all this shit. And the Iron Triangle is this contemporary political science idea concept that the real way that you have laws being created is this triangle of lobbyists, think tanks, and bureaucrats in the regulatory agencies. And those constitute the three points in a triangle. And that's really how the policies are created, is that the think tank, well, the lobbyist will work with the think tank to draw up a certain policy that benefits an interest group. And, you know, the lobbyist will take that to the bureaucrat, or the think tank people go on to work in the bureaucracy. And they'll enforce that policy that's beneficial. And, you know, all three of these points go around each other. But it basically describes regulatory capture, which is that the regulatory agencies that regulate a particular business are captured by the business it's supposed to regulate. It fundamentally describes the relationship between money and politics. You know, because starting with even something like one of the earliest examples is the Interstate Commerce Commission, the ICC, where during the Industrial Revolution, the federal government creates a regulatory body to regulate interstate commerce, particularly transportation. And the initial goal of that was to take a look at the railroad barons and try to bring them under control and regulate them in the interest of the public. And what happens is, of course, the railroad companies being very rich, richer than the bureaucrats, richer than the particular agency. And, you know, if you're the railroad company being regulated and you're an extremely wealthy for-profit business, your sole interest is in gaining control of the law. You know, the law is a very powerful tool for a business. And so, you know, if I'm a railroad tycoon and I'm being regulated by the railroad regulators, well, I'm going to dedicate lots of attention and capital to that problem. Not only do I want favor from the regulators, but maybe I want the regulators to create a monopoly. Maybe I can use the regulators as an arm of my business. And that is what eventually happens to all the regulatory agencies for the most part, is they're eventually swallowed up by the interests, by the firms that they're supposed to regulate. Anyway, so this is very basic stuff. And so I'm talking to Destiny about these like basic things like military-industrial complex, regulatory capture, quid pro quo, revolving door. Revolving door meaning people. Revolving door in case, because, you know, people say these things all the time. Not a lot of people even know what they mean or can conceptualize them. Revolving door means you have people that will come into politics and then they revolve out and they go and work in a firm and then or a lobbyist. They'll become a lobbyist or something like that. And then they'll go back into politics and they'll go out and they'll go back in. And the thing is that the private sector is where the money is. The public sector is where the power is. And so you've got this relationship where people who have influence over the government, when they're out of a job in government, will get scooped up by the private sector. They'll get paid lots and lots of money because that's where the capital is, and they can use their influence. They trade their influence for money. That's the revolving door, and everybody in politics knows that's how it goes. I know a lot of people in politics. That is exactly how it works. There is no money in the public sector. There is lots of money in the private sector. There is no money in being a civil servant and getting a salary. Yeah, you can get a nice pension. And yeah, when you work up to the higher levels, you can make a good income. But in terms of a very experienced, very competent person with a good degree, where do you think you're going to make a better living? Going to work for the richest private sector firm or going to work for the fucking government? You know, for your average, you know, normie, yeah, you could, you know, if you don't have a degree or maybe have not a great degree and you don't have a great skill set, if you're incompetent, yeah, you could. It's probably a bonanza to go and work for the post office and pick your nose all day and get paid six figures and a good pension and benefits, or be a fucking school teacher or whatever. But if you're an extremely talented, competent person with a specialized technical skill set from a great university, who would you rather be picked up by? Some regulatory firm or by Goldman Sachs? Go work in New York or go work in fucking DC. Obviously, and this is all basic, like obvious stuff that if you just knew people in politics, you just took a cursory look, you would see that. So perfect example that I gave him was Nikki Haley, who was the governor of South Carolina. Then she was the UN ambassador under Trump. And then she was put on the board of Boeing. Boeing is one of the biggest companies in the world. They make planes. Okay, they're a defense contractor. Huge capital. So she gets put on the board of Boeing, probably making, who knows, millions of dollars a year, $500,000 a year. She gets put on the board of Boeing after being a UN ambassador. And it's like, okay, so clearly the defense contractor, well, what does that mean? It means that Boeing makes your airplanes and sells them to the government. Who's buying them? The government. And who's coming up with the requisition for the government? It's bureaucrats. It's Congress gives the authorization. So, like, Boeing, the U.S. government is one of Boeing's biggest customers. And Nikki Haley worked for the U.S. government. So Nikki Haley works for the biggest customer, the biggest customer of Boeing, and then goes to work on the board of Boeing. And it's like, okay, so clearly she's being scooped up by the private sector and getting paid a ton of money so she can get rich and not have to worry about working while she considers her next move, if she's going to run for president or Senate or whatever. And in the meantime, what does Boeing get from that? Do you think they're hiring her to be nice? I mean, why do you think they put her on the board? Is it because of her insight into engines and airplanes and fucking missiles? No, it's because when you're working in the administration and you're the governor of South Carolina, it means you've got connections, you've got contacts. You can help Boeing make money. You can help Boeing extract more value from their customer, the government, the taxpayer. That's the revolving door. And guess what? So she goes in one, the revolving door's rotating around and around. She goes into South Carolina governor. She goes into the White House or the admin. And then she goes into Boeing. And guess what? In 2024, she's going to come out the other side of the revolving door and run for fucking president. And who's going to have her support? Boeing. Okay. And then if that doesn't work out, she's going to go and get speaking fees from some other firm, from some other interest. Okay, and like that's just how the government works. And that's called corruption. Okay, that's not efficient. That's corruption. She's doing that because, you know, we're all human beings. And, you know, when you're a little kid, you could be forgiven for thinking that celebrities are like live on another planet or something, or they live on TV. But no. Nikki Haley is a human being like the rest of us that lives in the world. If she doesn't work for Boeing, where is she going to work? Okay, if she's not working for the interests, where is she going to work? There are ways that people make money, okay? People need money to live. There are ways that people make money. You don't make a ton of money. The president makes $450,000 a year. That's not a lot of money. I mean, it is a lot of money. But for the relative responsibilities, who's getting, you know, the president runs fucking America and gets paid less than $500,000 per year. The CEO of a Fortune 500 company, the vice president of a Fortune 500 company makes more than that. Take a look at the richest people in the world or the richest companies in the world. You can even look at like second level executives are making more money than that. And that's the top, that's the pinnacle of the government. Is making less than $500,000 a year. So Nikki Haley gets out of her UN ambassador position, and how does she make fucking money? How much did she even make as an ambassador? Low six figures? So she could do a few things. She could write a book. She could do speaking engagements. She could be on the board of a nonprofit or something like that. Or what else is she going to do for money? How else is she going to live a rich life and support a security detail and, you know, nice things? That's what she has to do. And who buys the books? Yeah, sometimes people buy the books. But often you'll have very rich people buy lots of copies of it. You know, that's how people in politics make money, is they sell books. And so, you know, somebody like Nikki Haley, yeah, she'll maybe sell a lot of books to consumers. Also, maybe a billionaire buys 10,000 copies of her book. And that's like a way to make a donation. Okay. Or she'll do a speaking engagement for who? Who's paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to see Nikki Haley speak? Big fans of hers or people that want something from her? And same thing goes for her being put in, you know, and so this is just like basic shit. This is just obvious stuff, which, and back to the point, you know, I'm talking to Destiny about this and he's like, no, maybe they just, you know, maybe they just like her. Maybe they just like, maybe Boeing hired her because of her political connections, and that's like an honest and good thing. And they're essentially just willing to accept things as they are. There's like no curiosity to sort of pierce that layer and say, okay, but you know, is that really what's going on? Like, yeah, that is an explanation. That is one explanation that we are constantly told. And yeah, I mean, I guess it can make sense, but is that really what's going on? There almost seems to be like no interest. And that goes for everything. It goes for like the universe, that goes for, you know, all of it. And it seems like they're just like have sex with each other. It seems like they care a lot more about having sex with each other than they do about any of that stuff. Cause that's, I just keep seeing all this like just gross stuff in there, just filthy. And you know, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing is, I'm in that group chat, and you know, it's very lewd and things. And it's like, I'm not a prude, okay? Like, I'm a 23-year-old male who grew up in the age of the internet. You think that I'm like a total prude? You think that I've like, you know what I mean by that? Like, I don't think anybody in this scene is a prude. I don't think any of us are like pearl clutching about these things. But it's just, it's wrong. It's wrong, and it's sort of like, you know, it's just gross. And but they're all like, oh, you know, they think that we're like, I don't know. They think that we're like a religious right of the 1990s, where it's like our sensibilities are being offended. It's really the opposite. It's more like, you know, this generation has seen so much of that, that it's like, yeah, we're pulling back from the brink, because obviously that stuff is, you know, not good. And that's why I say these people are sort of inferior in the sense of, and when I say inferior, that has very negative connotations. People think, oh, you think that you're like subhuman? It's like, no, I mean the literal definition of the word. They're inferior, like online autists. They're literally sort of aborted, stunted, deviated, online autists who, like I said, instead of like seeking the truth and seeking the truth with like a curious mind, like we did, and eventually arriving at right conclusions or close to correct conclusions, they kind of got lost in the sauce, and either because they're too dumb or too perverse. Or something like that. Bad character, low character. They wound up on Discord becoming trans instead. There was like, you know, no part of them that was like, maybe don't become trans. Maybe that's like intuitively wrong. And so they became these sort of, you know, they could have been like all type who chose not to be gay. And dedicated himself to injecting race essentialism into right-wing politics online. But instead, they just chose to start taking HRT and doing all this weird shit and doing old fans and stuff. Not cool. So anyway, I don't say that in a mean way. I don't want to be the guy that goes in the group chat and then goes and says, well, here's what I think about them. But, you know, I'm in there and I'm making observations. I'm in there with the Destiny Left, which is a big faction online. And, you know, I'm taking notes down because I am curious. You know, I don't think they're curious at all about us, but I am curious about them in the sense of, you know, as somebody that has strong convictions, I want to know what animates the people that disagree. You know, I want to know do you not see what we see? Do you not know what we know? Do you know more? Do you know other things? Like, what's sort of the anatomy of your belief? And so I go in there with an open mind, looking to see what's going on there. And without much bias, I would tell you if I came in there and I was like, you know, they said things I had never considered before, but that didn't happen, of course. I talked to our opponents on the left, and if anything, I'm surprised that we're not on the same page because we haven't read the same book. They're 100 pages behind. They're 10,000 pages behind. So they got to study up. They got to hit the books. Anyway, what else? What else is going on? So that's been my experience with the DGGers. They're cack. Well, they're not. I'm a little bit more cack than them. That's the other thing. Their memes and their humor isn't as funny as ours. And that is definitely a reflection. They're listening to it. Here we go. I'm in the group chat. They're talking about this space. Class is in session, guys, they say. Let's see. I don't know if any of them are listening to it, but yes, that's that. What else? What else is new? What other content? What? I got blocked by American Populist Union. I was going to go into some of their content, and then I got blocked. Cack. I was about to go into this American Populist Union rebrand, and then they blocked me. LOL. Yeah, did you see this? These American Populist Union guys, they changed their name to American Cause. And they literally copied my fucking logo. Okay? What is that? As if APU wasn't a ripoff enough of America First, then they ripped off my logo and literally copied my logo. And these guys, so they rebranded. They're changing the name of their whatever to American Cause, which, like, what are we even doing anymore? Because we need another one of those, right? American Moment, American Greatness, American Conservative, American Cause, American Populist Union. What's the other one? What's the, there's like a million. American Compass. American fucking Compass is one of them. American Compass. What the fuck even is that? American Compass? American cum ass. So, wow, American Cause. Do we really need another one of these nebulous? What does that even mean? American Cause? I mean, we are America First. So, oh, okay, we have America in our name. But America First has history. It's got roots, and it's a declarative statement. It has content. You know, America First, America in this context is not being used as a modifier, an adjective. It's a noun. It's not saying it's greatness, but American. It's conservative, but American. It's the compass, but it's an American compass. It's a declarative statement. It's got content. It says America, the nation, being put first. It's like, that's a very dynamic action phrase that actually has meaning compared to what is the American cause? What does that even mean? What's the cause? The American cause. What? Cause what? Because what, nigga? American cause. Because what, nigga? Because I said so? What the fuck even does that mean? That's almost as bad as Today is America. Do you remember that one? Today is America. That was another one of these youth conservative groups. Today is America. American cause. What are they even fighting for? Nobody knows. And so that was their rebrand. They stole my logo. And then they put up this tweet the other day where they're like, the problem with the new right is that it's too Yankee. And it's like, who is running American Populist Union? It's Vince Dow, who's fucking Chinese. This guy named, what the hell is the Indian guy's name? Somebody help me out here. What's his name? It's Shank. Blah, 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 blah. Some stupid Indian name. No offense, but seriously. What the fuck is the guy's name? I would pull up American Cause Twitter and check who they follow, and I would find it. But it's like, so the people that are running it, you've got a Chinese guy, an Indian guy, and and they're going out there on Twitter and saying the new right is too Yankee. What the fuck? Like, is this a joke? Am I being pranked? A literal Chinese, like an Asian man, a Chinese man and an Indian man. And they're saying the problem with the new right is it's too Yankee. Too Yankee? What the hell are you? What are you, some kind of good old boy? Good old boy from where? Guangzhou? From New Delhi? It's too Yankee. Wow. Interesting point, Vince Dow and Shank Mahabla Schwarker. Okay, for sure. They said it's too Yankee and it's too intellectual. And, you know, like, it's just such a lark, man. These Southerners, when they talk, and they're not, number one, they're not even Southerners. Like, let's get real. They're from Asia, okay? They're from the, okay, global South. We're, I guess they're calling the global North Yankees. And, yeah, you're Southern, all right, global Southern, because you're from India. Because you're from India and China. You're part of the global South. I don't know about the American South. I don't know about the American Deep South, but certainly the global South. So that it's like, so you're not even a Southern to begin with, but then they say, oh, it's too Yankee. And, you know, these Southerners really got to fucking drop it with the regionalism. Such a LARP. Yankees. Oh, okay. Your town is a McDonald's and a Walmart telling me about fucking Yankees. We're all living in modernity. The idea that, like, you know, you're out there, like, living a completely different life or something. Yeah, maybe 300 years ago, you could say there's Yankees and there's, you know, Southerners. Sure, 300 years ago, when you had, you know, Gentile plantation aristocracy versus the, you know, merchant North, industrial North, fine. Okay, in the 18th or the 19th century. Maybe even in the first half of the 20th century. But we're going to get called Yankees. Not only are we getting called Yankees by Chinese and Indians, but even insofar as they are actually white, you know, even insofar as they are actually, you know, white Southerners, what a fucking LARP. These are people that go to, like, Texas Roadhouse. Yeah, there's a Texas Roadhouse 20 minutes from my fucking house. Yankee. Why? Because you wore a cowboy hat and cowboy boots to your job at freaking WeWork, at your WeWork office downtown? Oh, yeah, okay. Good old boy. I'm a good old boy. I got to wear my cowboy hat and my cowboy boots when I go to my WeWork office downtown, and then I go to Shake Shack, then I go to Wahlburger. It's, we're the same. We're the same, essentially. Yeah, it's too Yankee. Oh, okay. Okay, you know, Zoomer adolescent living in a suburb of a major metro who isn't even from fucking America and goes to university and listens to rap music on Spotify and eats at McDonald's. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're just too Yankee. Okay. And by the way, if anything, it's the opposite. Too Yankee. Give me a break. Donald Trump is a Yankee. What did the South produce? Ted Cruz? Yeah, we need a little bit more Ted Cruz because he's not a Yankee. I'm Ted Cruz, and I think that we should help Israel on my first day of office. Yeah, we need more prosperity gospel and Zionism and all the rest of that stuff, right? Yeah, it's a real model. I don't think so. Yeah, disagree, actually. So I thought that was cack. But, yeah, that's just like everything's just trash. Besides America First, it's all just like, what's even the point? What are you even doing? You know? The more that there are these, like, alternatives being created, the more people realize how special America First is. Because when it's just us, people could be like, oh, so what? It's just a kid that does a podcast. Well, you know, when all these other kids start doing podcasts, then people realize how fucking good mine is, you know? People can look at America First and be like, oh, big deal. It's just some kid with a podcast. And, you know, so what? They, you know, they say edgy stuff and they do a conference and all that. And it's like, okay, then you look at some of the other conferences and the other podcasts and the other kids. And it's like, yeah, they're not doing so hot, are they? And not they don't really have it in the same way. So I guess it's really not as simple as some people like to make it out to be, in fact. So anyway. Too Yankee. That's so keck to me. As if we need more of this Southern. The Southerners are going to save us. All right, Yankee. This movement is too smart for me. They said it was too Yankee and too intellectual. So what does it need to be? More stupid? It needs to be more Southern and more stupid. This here movement ain't stupid enough for me. Literally. This movement is too Northern and too smart. It needs to be stupider and more Southern. Okay. This here movement. All right, Poindexter. Whatever you say, Mr. Trump. I'm a simple man. I like grits, and I like horses in my truck. Whatever you say, man. I don't think so. Not on my watch. I'm a Yankee. I'm a Yank. I'm a Chicagoan. I'm an American ethnic. I'm a freaking based, red-pilled American ethnic. And American ethnics, I mean, listen, I'm all about founding stock and all that, for sure. But look at what the American ethnics built. New York, Boston, Chicago, okay, the Detroit, the great industrial powerhouses of America. The Sears Tower. Okay, we reverse engineered the Chicago River. That's America. And I also saw Jake Lloyd, very funny. He put out something on his Telegram where he was like, what did he say? He said that American ethnics were LARPing as Americans. It's like, dude, you're fucking Mexican. I will never understand. You literally have Vince Dow, who's Chinese, Shank, who is an Indian, Jake Lloyd, whose mom is a fucking Mexican, and they're going to go to America First and be like, you know, this ain't real American. This ain't real American at all because you're Italian and you're a Yankee. It's like, you're from fucking India and your mom's Mexican. Like, are you kidding me right now? Am I being trolled here? Talk about a LARP. Founding stock American. Oh, okay, yeah. Founding stock of Mexico. Founding stock of Latin America. Founding stock of Colombia. Founding stock of Nicaragua. For sure, Jake. Gotta love it. I seriously believe that is the reason why he bailed on AF, is because he had a problem with me being Italian and Mexican and Irish and Catholic, because he's a founding stock real American. It's like, look at your complexion, bro. You're brown. You're literally browner than me, bro. You have brown eyes and you're brown and your mom's Mexican. So who are we kidding here? Like, I'm okay with you being Mexican. Just drop the act. Founding stock American, my ass. You know, Scott Greer can claim it, sure. But, you know, don't give me that. Don't, you know, if you're going to critique me for being Italian, you better come with at least a freaking white mom for crying, at least two white parents for crying out loud. Just drop the LARP already. I'm so sick of these freaking LARPers. You know, they're like, we need to be Protestant and Southern and all this. It's like, no, actually, that's not. Because the task at hand is bigger than winning an election. It's about reversing modernity. And Protestantism just doesn't have the charge to reverse modernity. Sorry, but Americanism and Protestantism, it just doesn't have the juice. It doesn't have the energy to flip modernity. Sorry, because Protestantism, you know, is sort of equal parts causing and an effect of modernity. So how is Protestantism going to overturn modernity? It doesn't even make sense. And same thing goes with Americanism. Insofar as Americanism is a synthesis of 300 years of Enlightenment liberal thought, how does Americanism and Protestantism have within itself the ability to overcome modernism? It just can't. It's not in there. You have to go to something that precedes modernism, which is the Catholic Church. So, yeah. So, fundamentally, they're just wrong. They're like, well, we're like America First, but we're Protestant. It's like, well, the difference is that we're right. So, we're like America First, but we're about our founding stock. Well, I support the founding stock, too, for sure. But also, like, this... you know, you can't, like, combine Charlie Kirk, America is an idea, with, like, Protestantism. Also, we're not going to talk about the Jews. Also, we're not going to talk about race. What are they even trying to do? It's honestly just a protest against me. That's what it comes down to. All of these derivative groups are literally just a protest against my personality. They're literally just... It's not like... we disagree with America First, or, you know, we're doing something right that they're doing wrong. It's literally just like a spiteful protest against my, which, and I wish it wasn't the case. I wish that that was not true, but that's so obviously what it is. We're like America First without that jerk running it, without that asshole running it who isn't even nice to me. Oh, okay. Dummy. All right, what else? What else we got going on? Anything else in the news here? How long have I been live? An hour? Yeah, I think that's everything I have to say. Yep, not too much content. Carson Wolf is at APU, and he texted me the other day, and he's like, "Hey, are you sending people to attack me?" I'm like, "No, I've deliberately not attacked you, actually." And then he leaves me on red. It's like, okay, nigga. He's like, hey, bro, everyone is attacking me in your name. Are you sending people to attack me?" It's like, yeah, you got me. I'm up in my room plotting. All right, go. Like, fucking seriously. Yeah, he texts me, "Hey, during my show, are you sending people to attack me?" And then I text him when my show's over, "No." He doesn't open it for like 2 days, and then he opens it and leaves me on red. Okay, dude. Because he's at American Populist Union. And, you know, it's just like, I'm not really asking for much here. Just act like a real nigga instead of a fake nigga. Is that too much to ask? Like, everybody's always giving me shit because they're like, "You demand a loyalty test." It's like, you know, not even really. It's really more just like, can you just act like a real nigga for 2 seconds? I mean, the dude's gonna be like, "Oh, I'm America First. I'm totally America First, man. I love you, blah blah blah." And then he's going to go join up with these people that took the first opportunity to kick us while we were down a couple months ago and talking mad shit about me and AF. And he's going to go into business with them. and be like, yeah, it's all good, though. Wait a second. People are attacking me for this. Hey, you put them up to it. It's like, seriously, nigga, like, just choose. Choose. Nobody's forcing you to be friends with everybody. For crying out loud. I don't know, man. Some people just don't. They just don't have that sort of character or wherewithal. And people, and I'm done hearing about, oh, it's immaturity. It's not a maturity thing. I've always had that. I've had that ever since I was a kid. Just like not being a totally fake nigga. I've had that for forever. It's not a maturity thing. It's just a who you are thing. And, you know, I don't know to what extent people change over time, but I think that you kind of either have it or you don't. You either kind of want to be a real nigga or you don't. And I think that rarely changes. But yeah, rolling my eyes. He was texting me, oh, yeah, are you sending people to attack me? It's like, you know, and by the way, somebody that maybe deserves some criticism, but I don't. And then, and he's going to give me shit anyway. That's what I love. That's what I love is when I should be attacking somebody and I don't. And then they attack me anyway. And they're like, hey, you're attacking me. No, I'm not. But I don't know. Now that they think about it, it's kind of a good question. How are you going to go and say you love America first, and then you're going to go into business with people that shit all over us and tried to kick us while we were down, took the first opportunity when they thought it would benefit them to attack us? You know, that was the thing. Vince Dow, who I never liked, you know, he was always kissing my ass, and I let him get into AFPAC for free and everything. And it's like, whatever, we weren't like best friends or anything, but we had a friendly enough relationship. And, you know, I was friendly towards him, never particularly cared for him or thought he was all that talented or anything. And then literally the first drama that we got involved in since AFPAC, and he's going to throw us under the bus because he thought that would be a good business move. He goes on his Discord and goes, yeah, we need to cut ties with America first. They're bad news, blah, blah, blah. And they go on the attack. And it's like, seriously, like, so that just demonstrates like such low character. Because say what you will about me, I've never attacked people just because it would be like beneficial. Even when it is beneficial, I hold my tongue unless I'm provoked. So it's like, this guy's going to be friendly and kiss our ass and be polite and everything and say, oh, we like AF. No. We would have loved to have Nick Fuentes come to our conference, blah, blah, blah. And then the first sign of drama, oh, you know what? It would be convenient for us to just attack them right now. Oh, okay. Whoever the fuck you even are. And so anyway. And then so Carson's going to go into business with these people. And he's going to, on one hand, he's going into business with people that attack us when it becomes convenient. And then he's going to go and say, oh, yeah, but we're totally cool, man. Oh, thanks so much, whatever. And then he's going to get attacked for the obvious contradiction. And then he's going to get up my asshole about it. Oh, hey, are you sending people to attack me? No. No, like I need to go out and send people. If I was going to attack you, I'd just do it. Fucking unbelievable. I'm going to, in this accusatory way, and then I say no, and then you're going to blow me off. Okay, nigger. So, it's just unreal. These people have, like, no, they've just got, like, no class. I'm sick of it. No honor. Dishonorable niggas be dishonoring you. I don't deserve that, frankly. I don't deserve that at all. You know, I give the guy a cozy channel, and he's on, he's off. He's on, he's off. Hey, Nick, can I have a cozy channel? Sure. Never mind. You have to unpublish it because, you know, my parents don't think it's a good idea, okay? Hey, Nick, can I get my cozy channel back? Sure. Oh, wait, never mind. I'm getting in trouble again, okay? Hey, Nick, can I get my cozy channel back? Sure. Never mind. I'm getting attacked on my campus. Can you unpublish it? Okay. Like, bro, can you fucking grow a pair? for crying out loud. Holy smokes. And he's going to go with this other group and be like, oh, yeah, you know. I'm just sick of it. Just like, can you just act like a fucking man? I mean, do it or don't. Go in or don't. Like, I don't. I just hate people being full of shit. I you know, say what you will about me. Am I a jerk? Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I am one of the biggest jerks you'll ever meet, okay? Am I impatient and blunt and easily annoyed and mean? Yeah, all of the above. But at least people know where I stand. I don't back down. I side with my friends. I attack my enemies. That at least there's some clarity here. At least there's some level of integrity of, you know, for better or for worse, you know, I am Nick Fuentes. Love me, hate me, I am what I am. Could you imagine me going to like Right Side Broadcasting Network and being like, hey, can I like lay low for a little while because like my job? Hey, can I get my show back? Like, could you ever imagine me doing anything like that in my fucking life? To my detriment, I don't do that. To my detriment, I'll cut my nose to spite my face. And you got these Zoomers, and they all want to be like me, and they all want to, or they want my success, but they don't act like me. You know, they all want to create the next AF, or they want the success of AF, but they're like, but I'm gonna be like sort of milquetoast. I'm gonna be in, now I'm out, now I'm in, now I'm out, now I like you, now I don't, now I like you, I was only pretending, just kidding, like, fucking pick. But yeah, so there's that. Are you sending people to attack me? Should I? I don't know, bro. Should I? No, I'm not. But based on the level of respect and reciprocation and consideration that you've shown me, no. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe that would be appropriate. So inconsiderate. I wouldn't dream of being that disrespectful to somebody that has gone out of their way to help me. And somebody who is older than me and somebody who is more experienced than me. I wouldn't dream of it. Wouldn't dream of it. You know, I was raised with just the basic decency of respecting people older than you and respecting people that are more established than you. And at the minimum, reciprocating to people that are considerate to you and that have helped you. At the minimum, that's the bare minimum of being raised right. For crying out loud. You know, like it's ingrained into my soul that if people do something nice for me, I feel like I owe them. Cause you know, that's just like being a decent human being. And guess what? If you don't want to owe somebody, don't take advantage of their generosity. I wouldn't dream of repaying somebody who is respectful and considerate to me with disrespect. Or, and especially like an elder. I mean, maybe I'm just old school in that way, but I'm very deferential to my elders. That's why I struggle a little bit in my business dealings, because a lot of times I deal with people older than me and I have a hard time, you know, getting ignorant with people older than me, because it's just like a basic, that's just like a basic part of being a respectful person. You know, I work with a lot of people that are either very older than me or a little bit older than me. And I have trouble being as earnest with them as I am with people younger than me, because, you know, I'm just deferential towards my elders, always have been. So I just, it's this new, these new generation, it's always like that, right? It's like these kids these days, they don't act right. These kids these days. And, you know, maybe they'll learn, but I'm so annoyed by that. you know, and they're going to, and they think they're like getting away with it too. They think they're getting away with murder. You know, Vince Dow is going to ask me for a free AFPAC ticket for him and his friends. And I oblige him and I'm nice to him and I talk to him and all this and we're friendly and everything. And then he's literally going to try and throw me under the bus at the first sign of he thinks it's good for his career. And then he's going to pretend like that never happened. And like, oh, yeah, and you just totally got a no, you didn't get away with that, you fucking jagoff. Yeah, I still remember that. Everybody saw that. Everybody was there for that. And guess what? Here's a little piece of advice from somebody who's been around a lot longer than you. Not a lot, but a little bit longer than you. People in politics don't go away. Guess what? Yeah, we went through some e-drama, and guess what? Then e-drama goes away. And people in politics don't. People in politics and online politics will persist until the end of time, okay? And so that's a lesson you got to learn young. All these people that I feuded with over the years, for the most part, even though they're diminished, they're all still there. And so, yeah, big mistake. Oh, yeah, I think it's convenient for a second to attack Nick Fuentes. Yeah, that's not going to come back to bite me. Oh, hey, Nick, never mind. Yeah, we didn't forget about, you remember a month ago when all this craziness was going on and you thought it was good for your career to kick us while we were down? Yeah, because I remember that. Everybody saw it. Everybody remembers. And they think they're, like, clever or something. You're not fucking clever. You're fucking Chinese and you're 5'4". So, yeah, it's just like, and it's whatever. I mean, these are kids, but I just get annoyed at the disrespect, you know, it's whatever. If these kids came up to me and said, hey, sorry for being bitch niggas, I would say, hey, whatever. I don't know that I'd necessarily be like, oh yeah, it's all good now, but, it'd be like, okay, that's fine. But there's just like there's no ounce of humility. There's no ounce of respect. And that's just, these are just not good characteristics. These are just bad, bad, unfavorable characteristics. But, you know, that's politics, you know. I guess I'll have a fine. So, I, you know, I take it personally, but it's just wrong. So, anyway. So that's the whole APU situation. Not a big deal, but it's just another funny thing going on in the scene that they're rebranding to American Cause, and they're gonna pretend like they didn't just go to war with America first a couple months ago. Okay, sure. So anyway. I think that's everything. What else? I think that's I think that's everything. Shawshank Yellow Monkey is the name. Now that guy I've never had any beef with. I've never met him or anything, but it is just a little bit audacious. You know, I don't have any personal feelings about the guy. I don't really know him, but it's a little bit audacious to be run by Dow and Yellow Monkey and be talking about freaking Yankees. So anyway, yeah, that's all I got. That's it. I got to go do some work. So I'm going to go, but thanks for listening. Whoa, is Destiny's Manifesto out yet? I'm going to do a stream about his manifesto whenever it drops. I'm going to do a stream about that and review it. Maybe I'll read the whole thing on stream. But I thought it's supposed to come out tomorrow. Anyway. That's it. That's my space. I'm done. I'm getting out of here. So thanks for listening. See you later. I'll probably be banned by the end of the day. So I guess I'll just see you on the next respawn. See you later. Bye.